Those who will open their ears to God's word, who will say, I will listen. What we are doing here in being willing to hear our God and to learn of his love is a taste of the glory that is coming. Maybe you don't believe that. Perhaps you will by the end of this time. Let's bow our heads and pray and ask that the Lord would reveal to us his words. Thank you, God, for bringing us in our different places today before you. And we pray that in our hearts we would cry, I want to hear of the living God. I want to know his ways. I want to see who he really is. I am not content to live life out on my terms. Speak. We pray these things in your name. Amen. I just want to be happy. Have you heard those words? I just want to be happy. They're powerful words. They could be destructive words. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. Amazing things have happened through these words, both good and ill. So, for instance, these words have been used destructively to abandon a family. I just want to be happy, meaning I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. I'm going. But it's also been used in life-saving ways. Everything has gone right in somebody's life. Everything has fallen into place. They have what they want, and then suddenly they go, but you know what? I'm not happy. And I want to be happy. What's wrong? And it turns a corner in their life. They conclude one idea that didn't work, and they start up something that might work. That might change for the better. Humans do all sorts of things, really meaningful things, chasing happiness, contentment, purpose. Some of them throw their lives away seeking it, and some of them find what they're looking for. What does the Bible say? God wants you to be truly happy. That's what the Bible says. God really wants you to be happy, not in a super official way. And this is the first words in the book of Psalms that we're looking at today. The very first words that God would have to you. It says, blessed is the one. And that's kind of a Christian language there. That word blessed, it actually just means happy. Truly happy. Content for life. Happy. Happy is the one. Psalms is written so that you would learn, you would know how to be happy at the end of it, how to be happy throughout it, how to actually have a happy life. Are you wanting to be happy? God wants you to know how to be happy. He wants you to have joy. Deep down, long-lasting happiness that nothing can take away, even tragedy. Tragedy hits you, you're sad, you're grieving, and yet you have a higher hope. You know what? It's not thrown everything away. You have something to cling to. Long-lasting joy that nothing can take away. Who wants that here? Do you want that here? Is that a desire of yours? I know it is a desire of yours. You're living that out. You go out of this room and you do things to make you happy. I'm telling you that the place to find it is actually right here. Now, here's what's counterintuitive. We don't get it the way we think we're going to get it. We think that we get happiness by trying to seize it, trying to use all of our strength and grab hold of our life and make it count and make it important. That's not how we get it at all. We get happiness by surrender. We get happiness by letting go and giving it to God. So this is the big idea for this morning. If you're going to take just one thing away from what we're about to say, what we're doing is we're actually doing a study on the words, happy is the one, okay, in the book of Psalms. If anybody's wondering, we don't normally do this. We normally go through passages bit by bit. But today we're just going to look at this one phrase, happy is the one in the book of Psalms. Here's the big idea. God wants us to be happy. And the way to that happiness is through submitting to God. God wants us to be truly happy, and the way that that happiness comes is through submitting to God. Specifically, three things. Submitting to his word, submitting to his ways and his rule, and submitting to his grace and his forgiveness. submitting to his word, submitting to his ways, and his salvation of us, okay, and submitting to his grace. So let's start with truly happy is the one who submits to God's words. Now, before we go further, we have to deal with that ugly, nasty word that nobody likes there. Which one? Submit. Who here loves to submit? Who looking forward to going and living your life underneath somebody else and doing what they say? Is anybody else here thinking that that's great? I want to sign up for that. How can I sign up for that? You see, it's counterintuitive, isn't it? We don't think that that's the way that we're going to be happy. No, no, we're going to throw off the shackles, just like our people in chapter 2. We'll throw off the shackles, and then we'll be really free when we can do whatever it is that we want. Well, there is a good submission, isn't there? Think about children for a moment. It is good that they obey us. We've just moved house, okay? And we've moved to a house where we have four flights of stairs, okay? Four flights of stairs. And my daughter has just learned to walk, and she's learned to go up the stairs, and it's really great, sort of. She can kind of make it up the stairs as long as somebody is right there, and if we turn away, she might tumble down, right? So we're right there, but you can go up the stairs. You know, sweetie, go ahead, you try, enjoy. But she, like, now it's come into her head that actually not only does she want to know how to go up the stairs, but she wants to go down. She wants to go down. And she doesn't have a clue how to do it. She thinks, I'll just jump off. That's the idea. I'll just jump off. And so here we are saying, no, no, no. Okay, and that's not wrong. No, no, no. Don't put your hand in the fire, kid. No, no, no. That's going to burn you. This isn't for us. We're not talking about ourselves and we're being selfish. We're telling because we care about you. Don't do that thing. Do your maths. Do your spelling. Clean your room. Eat your vegetables. We don't tell children these things to do because we hate them, but because we want them to grow. And it's against their intuition, isn't it? What do they think is going to make them happy? To do whatever they want, whenever they want, to watch YouTube, to eat tons and tons of candy. They would never, ever grow and mature. And so it is good for them to submit to us. It is good for them to submit to us, and it is good for us to submit to God. You see, God says our relationship is like that. It's like a father with his children. You can live, child, if you will listen, child. Psalms chapter 1, look at the first chapter of Psalms. We're just going to summarize it, but we're going to start in verse 1 and just read those first two. And now we can translate. Truly happy is the one, eternally happy is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit with the company of mockers. No, what is his delight? His delight or their delight is in the law of the Lord. And they meditate on this law day and night. They meditate on this law day and night. And so here as we look at Psalms chapter 1, we see like two paths. Two directions that we could go in life. And we see these paths work out. You know, one seems like it could be really good, but then it turns out not so good at all, and it turns out to lead to destruction. We're told the whole person's life is just reduced down to what the choice they made and where it led, okay? And the choice was to rebel. Okay, that's the first group. The first groups are rebel. You tell us to do these things, God, we will not have it, they say. And so it starts out that they just get a flavor for sin. They're just walking in step with the wicked. They just cross sin's path and they go, wow, yum, that's tasty, I like that. And then the next part is that they're going the same way that sinners go. That is to say, their lifestyle now has become in part doing these things. And then finally, they sit in the company. That's their home. Their home now, the way they identify themselves is, I identify myself by my complete rebellion against everything that God says to do. Is this a good thing? No, it's not. It's not a good thing at all. It leads to this utter destruction, hasn't it? Have you met people like this, by the way? I've met people like this. You get to know them, and you say, what is it that makes you tick? And they say, what makes me tick is I just rebel. Whatever it is, I just rebel. I don't want to do it. I will not listen to authority. I will not do this. The other day, this is a while back. I was going door to door, and just saying, "Oh, I'm at the local church, and I just want to be here for the local community." I mean, so introductions, hello, hope you're doing well. Anyway, I was going door to door, and I went to this person's door, and I opened it up, and I say, "Oh, hello, and it's nice to meet you." And the person says, "I'm an anarchist." Now, I've met anarchists that are totally fake anarchists, and that's funny. Okay, that's funny. They're funny people. But this guy was real. He was a very serious, upset man, and he's saying, I want all the governments to be destroyed. I rebel against everything that is, an authority figure for me. And on his face, there were three little teardrops. It was a tattoo, three teardrops. Does anybody know what that means? That means this person is claiming they've killed three people, and they want people to know that. And as I sat and talked with this person, I thought, this guy is a rebel. I want zero to do with who he is and where he's going. And as quickly as I could, I got out of that room. We don't want to go down that road. The rebel without a cause ends up, God for him is just his own God. He just serves himself. He is God to himself. And that leads to destruction. We're told ahead of time, don't do that. But now we're also told the opposite, the way to life, the way to be truly happy. What does it say? It's someone who builds their life on God's word. That's what it is. It's someone who builds their life on God's word. They embrace the instruction manual to success. During grad school, I was taking this particularly difficult technical course, and it was so hard. It was like the professor was talking in a different language, and I had gotten all the books, and I had read all the books that he told us to get, and still, I couldn't understand a thing the person was saying. And it was one of these professors, and I'm this kind of professor too, by the way. So this is a bad thing. But he would just call out people. He'd be like, and you, tell me, what kind of... He'd bring you up and make you answer the questions in front of the class, which is just totally... I hear here in Britain, they never ever do this. But in America, it's a regular. Okay, we'll see if you know something, kid. Okay? But anyway, he would do this, and I would literally not know anything, and the class would just look at me like... You know, but other people didn't know at first, but then they kind of figured out something. And so what's going on? I mean, what is this? And so after class one day, a very nice friend of mine says, hey, Tim, can I talk to you for a second? And I said, oh, sure, what's going on? And she said, we were all so confused by the questions that the professor was asking, like he was reading something that we weren't even reading or anything. And we came across this lovely book, and then she like brought this book out of her bag. And I'd never seen this book, and it wasn't one that we were told to read. She's like, and it turns out we think that he's using these for all of his questions. So I just took notes right then. I took a picture with my phone, and I went and I bought that book. And that book was a lifeline for me. It turns out that that's exactly what he was doing. He thought he'd pattern his whole class after this book. And I found the way to life, and I clung to it. Thus is the word of God for you. Thus is God's word for you. You don't think it. It's counterintuitive. You're not really excited about doing what God asks. But if you will, it will lead to life. The Bible tells you the way to go. And the really happy, those at the end say, they're not the ones that said, I did it my way. No, no, no. That's not it. It's the ones that take the book and say, I will believe you. And it's even what it says are things that we don't think will lead to life. We don't think will lead to happiness. We don't think are going to be what we want, but they are. But they are. Let me give you a couple of other verses. They all have the word truly happy are. Okay, and this is the study for that. I'm just going to read them out to you. Psalms 94:12. Truly happy is the one you discipline, the one that you train. Okay. The one you teach from your law, it goes on to say. The one you teach from your instruction. The word law could mean instruction. In fact, does mean instruction. They receive your words. Okay, Psalms 112:1. Praise the Lord. Truly happy are those who fear or respect the Lord, who find great delight in your commands. In your commands. They embrace what you've told them to do. It leads to joy. If you will obey God, nobody ever, ever, ever thinks, goodness, I wish I did not obey God. But lots of people think, why did I do that stupid thing again that I knew I shouldn't do? Lots of people think that. Now, one more thing to say. Here at this church, we believe that the Bible has a very simple message. And that message is that we're all sinners. God has sent a Savior, that's Jesus Christ. He has died the death that you deserve so that you can have the life that he gives. And if you'll believe in him, you'll go to heaven forever. That's the big message of the Bible. And yet, that's kind of like a soundbite, as it were. It's a little bit of a soundbite. And the rest of it the explanation of it is in this book, reading this book, understanding this book. And so we want to commend you to knowing the Bible, to really reading the Bible, and to investigating the Bible. This week, anybody know Tim Allen? Tim Allen, the comedian, I think he had a show a while back. Tim Allen said, you know, my whole life I've gone to church, not really taken anything out of it. He said, I just thought I'd read the Bible for the first time, front to back. And he says, it's really interesting, actually. I'm really enjoying this. I'm in prophecy right now, but I'm looking forward to the Gospels. And that's what we want, guys. You know, you might not understand what's there, and that's why I have a job to tell you what to do with these things, okay? Read it. You have a question, write it down. I will talk you through it. Okay, I will talk you through it. It's the most blessed thing you can do, accept God's words, not only just to hear them, but to say, I want to live these things. Totally will change your life. For the better. God wants us to be truly happy. And the way to true happiness is through submitting to God, okay, to his word, that was first. Secondly, to his sovereignty and to his ways, okay? Now, what I mean is that God demands, now God was our creator. He created us, he created the world, he created everything. This breath that you're about to take, it was on God's roster. You can thank him later, okay? Everything belongs to him. And he asks, he actually demands sovereignty. He demands that we accept his sovereignty. He demands that we accept him as our savior. He demands that of us. And to do less is to take the person who has given you everything and say, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care that you made me. I don't care that you love me. I don't care that you died for me. I don't care. And that's what we see in Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, what does it say? Why do the nations conspire? The peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth rise up. The rulers band together against the Lord and against his Messiah. That's the word, anointed person. Messiah. Saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. The Lord scoffs at him. So, like Psalms chapter 1, we have a group of people rebelling, okay? And so here we have some more rebels, and they don't want to countenance God. They don't want to listen to what he has to say. They don't want him in their world. They say, we are the rulers of these nations, and we'll have nobody else ruling us. We're the top authority. We're our final authority. In fact, they'll say, we'd rather fight God than listen to him. We want to fight. We want to fight him. Which is like the ant saying to the human, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to get you, right? This is not going to go so hot. There's no happiness going that route. Listen, this is a commonplace objection to God. Everywhere you look, you can see people, there's probably people in this room who hold this opinion. Keep God at bay, they say. I don't have to speak to him. I don't have to talk to him. I don't have to know him. I'm just going to carry on doing my things. Everything will be fine. God says that's rebellion. That's the way he puts it here. That you're rebelling against me, and I made you, and I love you, and I want you, and why would you do that to me, son? Is that really what you want? And so there's a whole host of people that give God the silent treatment, and they think that that's okay. They say, I'm agnostic. God needs to prove it to me. Prove it, God. There is proof, if you would listen. Maybe they say, I'm an atheist. God, look, God has let evil into this world, so of course he doesn't exist, right? That's a quip against God. That God, I don't like that God. And so, you know, he's messed things up. It's not okay. It's not okay to God. That is actually rebellion. Some people say it really doesn't matter what you believe about God if you're a good person, you know? I mean, God's going to be like, well, you didn't believe in me, but you've been good, so everything is fine. Everything is fine. No, that is exactly what this does not say. And we do a disservice to other people when we say all religions are the same because they have different gods. And here, God is saying they reject me as their God. And in fact, in this culture, the people who would have heard this, they would have had gods, many gods, and included in their pile of gods was actually the Lord, Yahweh, that's our God. They would have had the Lord included in their conception of all the deities in the universe, and they would have said, well, wait a minute, I mean, we just have multiple ones, and it's totally okay, isn't it? And God says, no, it's not okay. No, it's not okay. I made heaven and earth, and I don't share. This isn't a shared ownership here. I want you all for myself. I want to be your Lord. It's not wrong for him to say that. It's not wrong. And they not only reject God, they don't want to know him, they reject the Messiah. It says that. They band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. That's the word Messiah. We're talking about this person that God anoints. He says, I have a mission for you. I want you to go and save your people. Go and save my people. And I'm making you the person that will go and do that. That's who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. They reject utterly Jesus and they reject God. They want have nothing to do with that. Do you have friends like that? That actually they find Jesus, the cross, all of that very distasteful. They don't really want anything to do with that. They don't want to have anything to do with church. They don't want to have anything. They're hedging their bets, as it were. That will lead to destruction. Why? Well, it's kind of like blowing up the only bridge off the island, okay? And the island is going down, okay? Don't blow that bridge up. It's kind of like, flushing the medication for the incurable disease you have. You're cutting yourself off from the one who would save you, and God laughs at it. And this is the laugh. Oh, now you've gone and done it, haven't you? You've put your foot in it. What a mess you've made, thinking that you're going to fight me and I would save you. I would save you and I love you. But now we're enemies. Now, don't go that route. That doesn't lead to a happy life. Don't reject God. Don't keep God at bay. Don't say, I don't want you. What do? Verse 12. Kiss the Son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all those, wait a minute, truly happy, sincerely happy are all those who take refuge in him. Those are the people who end up happy. Well, who is this Son? When it says Son there, it's talking about the eternal Son. Again, this is talking about the Messiah. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus, the eternal Son who has come into the world to save. And it says bow to that person. When it says kiss the Son, we don't really have this in our culture. The idea is it's paying homage. It's saying, I pledge myself to you. You're my king. This is the kingdom that I serve in. I allege myself, right? I have allegiance to that king. I'm with you. I'm in the Lord's army, right? The kingdom of God is near. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Do you want to be part of the kingdom? Yes, I pledge myself to you. So you surrender to God, but also there's this weird trust. It says, blessed are all those who trust in him. Truly happy are all those who trust in him. And that word trust is an interesting word because it's only ever used of God. And here it's talking about the Son. And so it's telling us ahead of time the Messiah is going to be God with us. And you must put your trust in him and for his salvation. You'll be truly happy if you don't rely on yourself, but you put your trust in Jesus. Now, we have to talk about that a little bit. I hate letting somebody help me. Do you hate letting somebody help you? Would you rather just do it on your own and say, I didn't need your help though? Like, thanks, but no thanks. These last few weeks, as we prepared for the move, I'm just going to put this forward. Every time that I've moved before this, I would just take all of my stuff and throw it in my car. And then we would drive from there. Everything would fit. And we'd drive from there to the new place and an out it would come and I would be fine. And then I got married. And it was like, it wasn't just that our stuff doubled. It was like that we quadrupled the amount of stuff that we had. And so we then moved to the manse that was right over here. And when we did that, I realized I couldn't fit it all into my car. And so I got three other cars and some friends to help, okay? But that didn't really count. Yeah, they were just, it was kind of me doing it. But then Brian and a whole host of other people said, listen, this time around, let's actually hire people to pack things up and to put it away. I mean, think that's kind of what you need. I was like, I don't need that. I don't need any help. Whoa, that probably costs money. I don't want that. I needed it. We need it. We need God's help. And it is okay to receive God's help. It is actually the only way we'll be all right. Trust in the Lord. Rely in the Lord. Rely on him for salvation. A few more verses, again, all with the words, truly happy. Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Truly happy is the one that trusts in him. They put their trust in God. You save me. Psalm 44. Truly happy is the person that makes the Lord his trust. His trust. Psalm 84:5, truly happy is the man whose strength is in the Lord. You see the theme there? It's a reliance upon God. You save me. The people who get through life, the people who succeed, aren't the ones who had it all in hand. It's the ones that didn't. And then put their trust in God. They put their heart into God's hand and say, I need you to save me. And God said, that's the story, actually, and I will. God wants us to be truly happy. The way to true happiness is through submitting to God, his word, his way, and lastly, his gracious forgiveness. So let's turn to Psalm 32:1, and we'll read this last little bit together. 32:1, just 3-4 pages. Truly happy is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Truly happy is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you. I didn't cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave. You forgave. So this is the third occurrence of the words, happy is the one in the book of Psalms. And there's really an interesting pattern going on. They're all about submitting to God. These different things that we're reluctant to give him. We're reluctant to submit to his word. We're reluctant to submit to his reign. We're reluctant to submit to the Messiah and say, I need you to save me. And finally, we're reluctant to admit we're sinners and to seek his forgiveness. We really are deeply reluctant to do this. Well, we need to explain this a little bit. You see, God says that every act of unkindness that you have towards each other, that you have towards God, every act of unloveliness where you treat people as if they are below your desires, every disloyalty that you have towards God where you do the things that he doesn't want you to do, but really you think you want to do. God says that that is a sin and it's also a debt that must be paid. Now, every month I receive from Santander a bank account statement. Do you guys get a bank account statement? It's the only snail mail that I actually read, okay? So here it comes, and I open it up, and I'm always, it used to be when I was younger, you see, I would open it up and it was like a page, and I could read on the one page, right, all the things that I spent money on. And then I open it and you've got like 3-4 pages. It just keeps going, and they're front to back. You cannot believe how much debt you've accrued against yourself. This is precisely the same situation with God, except for 100 times worse. Page after page after page of disloyalty, page after page of loveless, graceless, unkind behavior. Trust me, it is there. You might not think you're a bad person. According to God, you've got an incredible debt against you. And what God wants in the first instance is for you just to say to him, I am sorry. Let's forget about how this is all going to get paid for a moment. Just that he wants you to go to him and say, I am guilty of sin. I really have turned from you. I really am doing what I ought not to do. I am sorry. I acknowledge my mistake. Now, what people tend to do about this is because, you see, they've already said, I don't want to get close to God. I rebel against him. I'm not going to actually countenance him. He needs to show me more evidence. And so when it comes to sins, then there's no way that they're going to go to God and say, boy, I've really messed up, God. And they go their whole life giving God the silent treatment over the wrong that they have done against him. Have you ever wronged somebody in a major way? And the relationship is in danger of breaking, right? You know it's going to end now because of the decisions that you made. And now it's in your camp, right? If you do nothing, what happens? Find a new friend. That's what happens. But if you will go and humiliate yourself with that person, if you will bake them brownies, if you will tell them that you had a bad thought there, that you did some things that were very selfish, If you will go to them face to face and say, here's where things left off, I'm sorry. You will have hope to restore that relationship. That's what God says. In your first sentence, you come to me, you confess, and there's this promise, actually. If you'll come and you'll confess your sins, you'll confess what you've done, you'll confess that terrible route you chose, God will be gracious. Truly happy is the one whose sins are forgiven. And that's, all of us have that debt. We go before God and we say, oh God, I really did mess it up. And instead of finding judgment there, God says, I forgive you. I want you. I love you. I've been waiting for the day that you would show up at my door so that I could say, I paid for it and you're back. Now, how does that all happen? It turns out that God is going to make somebody pay. He hasn't forgotten what you did. Jesus will pay what you owe. That's the story. I mean, we have this loving God. This loving God who made us, he gave us breath, he gave us all things. We keep him at bay. We say we're not going to listen to you. We do a lot of evil and wrong things. And God's like, you'll be happy if you listen. You'll be happy if you accept my rule. You'll be happy if you see what Jesus did for you. You'll be happy if you're really forgiven of all your sins. This is all really positives. This is the only way. I hope you hear this. This is the only way you will ever be happy, truly happy. Will you receive it? God wants us to be truly happy, and the way to true happiness comes through submitting to God, his word, his ways, his grace. You say, I'm not happy. Response, Tim, I'm not happy. I'm grumpy. Well, are any of these things lacking in your life? Are any of these things missing in your life? You're not right with God. You're not submitting to him. You're not submitting to his word. You're not submitting to his rule. You're not submitting to Jesus. And you're definitely not submitting to his grace. You've not said anything about your sins to God. If they are missing from your life in the first instance, will you please just relent and let God have these things? You will be so, so happy. Eternally happy. Forever happy. And we together will rejoice for eternity in the presence of God, the great and glorious King we submitted to will have saved us and we'll be set free. And the joy of that will be now. But it will just bubble up and continue to bubble up. And no matter what comes, we will make it through because we know now who we are and where we're going in Christ. Are you happy? No, I'm not. Well, look at these things. Second thing for us who believe. Which one of those three did you need to hear this morning? For us who believe, who have surrendered to Christ, which one of those three are you weak at? Are you weak at listening to God's word? Are you weak at surrendering your life every day to God and surrendering to the cross and to Jesus who died for you? Or are you weak at you don't do any confession whatsoever towards God? Which one of those three do you really struggle with? Let's pray. We're going to have communion in a few minutes, so this is going to be a perfect opportunity for us to move towards surrender. And my prayer for you is that you would be filled with joy. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for telling us the truth, even if the truth doesn't seem the way to go. And I pray for a powerful work to be done in our hearts. And we would delight ourselves in the Lord, and we would find there the delight of our souls in the Lord. I pray for joy, unending joy, to bubble up in our hearts as we surrender to you, as we surrender to your love, as we surrender to all that Christ has done for us. And so now in the quietness of your heart, why don't you just say a word about something that has come up to the Lord, and we'll close. Lord, you have a wonderful story to tell in us. You have such beautiful blessings. Your love is what we're really looking for. And when we find it, nothing else compares. I pray that the vision of Christ, who's loved us, would be in our eyes. We would see that you have made us for yourself. And we would say, I believe. I want to be happy. I want to be eternally happy. I pray if anybody in this room is not in that place, that you would let them know that you still love them and that you're after them. That you're going to catch them. I pray that your love would be in our eyes. In your name, amen.